analyst, former NHLer Mike Greenley, joins us set for game four, which is another one of the homer series so far in the Western Conference. Mike, just talk about how much of a difference home ice advantage has made specifically for matchups.
Well, you know, and I think everyone looks at that so much. Well, I don't know if they look at it more than they used to, but it's such a big factor. You get the difference between wins and losses. We see, you know, we talk about parity and all that kind of stuff, but I mean, the difference between wins and losses is just so tight that if you could have certain guys out there and shut down roles, whether it's a D pair or whether it's a third line or fourth line that can do the job. It's so crucial to get them out at the right time, and I think the top six forwards for the Avalanche have scored all their goals. Nine of their goals have been scored by five of their top six guys, and they have 12 of their 16 assists. The other four go to D-men. So obviously they're a top two line team, and if you can shut down those guys, especially McKinnon's line. With Stasny and Lannisaw, you go a long way to limiting their scoring, and then you have to, obviously have to have the puck in the offensive zone as much as possible after that. But matchups are huge, and I think the Wild certainly want to have that scenario again here at home.
You look at Darcy Kemper, and I'm not even sure Brizgalov played that bad, but they obviously like Kemper. What do you like about his game? Why did the coaches go with him over Brizgalov, or was it easy because they were down 0-2?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Brizgalov played poorly by any means. And for that matter, Kemper really didn't need to play brilliantly. I think the difference was that he was the guy earlier this year, and he faltered a little bit after the Olympic break, but not poorly, not greatly, and then then the injury. So I think there's always going to be an opportunity for him to get back in if they want to change the momentum a little bit. When he came in too, he actually made 14 saves, but there were a handful of them that were grade A, real strong saves, and he looked really good. He looked aggressive. The only slight, I guess, if anything, on Brizgalov was the fact that even though they were really good goals, I mean, like I said, their top, that McKinnon line was certainly dynamic. The only thing I would say is that he may have been caught a little bit deep on a few of those goals. Would he have stopped him if he was another foot or two out? Who knows? I mean, it's hard to say, but there's a posture that a goaltender has, I think, and almost a swagger that a goaltender has to have, especially in the postseason. And I think Kemper has that. You can tell, you can see it in his game. You can see it how aggressive he plays. So I really think that has a lot to do with it. So far so good with Kemper. And that's not saying that he rides the rest of the way. I mean, if he falters, then maybe Chris goes back in. But at this point, you got 91 minutes of shutout hockey from your 23-year-old goaltender, so you might as well keep it rolling.
Mike Greenley, analyst from the Minnesota Wild, joins us. Mike, of course, the big story was Matt Cook. He gets a seven-game suspension. Huge blow for Colorado because one of their top defensemen, Tyson Barry, is out of the lineup. Who's Colorado bringing in? And I don't think they have anybody who really can replace Barry as far as a puck-moving offensive guy.
Yeah, it looks like Wilson will come in, but he really it's not going to be a situation where you're replacing anything. It's I think everyone knows. Everyone knows that Barry was a puck moving guy who activated into the play consistently to the point where Patrick Waugh said it, and he said this in the pressers in the games 1 and 2. He said Tyson Barry has a green light to go anytime he wants, but he wants him to pay attention to a couple things: the score and the clock. And if the score is a certain way and the clock is down to a minute, then you're trying to do one thing or another. That should dictate when you do what you do. But for the most part, that sounded like to me that Barry had the green light to inject himself into the play, and he did. I mean, he was in the offensive zone sometimes before a lot of forwards, and he was in the defensive zone before back checking. So he was all over the ice, and he was obviously a big factor for them. So. Yeah, it's a crucial thing for them. I don't know if you necessarily replace that. You adjust and you work around it. and that's what they're going to have to do for any offense from the blue line.
Mike Greenlee joins us, analyst for the Minnesota Wild. Mike, I want to get your thoughts on Marc-Andre Fleury being a former goaltender. Last 5 years in the playoffs, he's been below .900 save percentage. And so we can sit here and say bad breaks every now and then, but you know, maybe their team defense seems to be better, but you can't win when your goaltender has below .900 save percentage in the 2010 decade. You just can't do it. If you're Dan Bylsma, would you make a move in goal?
Wow, you know what? That's tough, you know, because they're going back home. It's tough because I think when I saw both goals and I was like, I had some terrible flashbacks, and I was thinking, my goodness, what's that guy thinking right now? Because obviously there's a lot of talk as to, you know, what could he do, and you threw out the numbers right there, the fact that he hasn't been stellar in the postseason the last little while, and what do you do to make a difference? And the problem is when your confidence is a little dicey as it is, it doesn't take much adversity to really get you going down the wrong path. And you could tell that even after that tying goal, after that, it didn't have the same kind of, you know, it didn't take very long, obviously, but, it's tough to get it back. It's tough to get that confidence back, and you can't do it effectively. Bylsma starts him again and says, hey, he's our guy, and we have a lot of confidence in him. That may sound good in a press conference, but the goaltender himself, it depends on his mental makeup, but he'll probably be sitting there going, well, that's great that he's starting me again, but I don't know if I really have it. So good question. I don't know if he should or not. it really depends on the goaltender's makeup and what would Bylsma's experience with Fleury in those types of situations, because, you know, obviously he's faltered at different times, but that's just a really tough call because, you know, like I said, I don't think you can inject confidence into a guy artificially. I mean, he has to come from within.
It has to, for sure. And that's the part of the game that no stat will ever cover. You know, players can talk about it, say everything right, that, yeah, I believe in myself. And I know he talked to a sports psychologist, Mike, but you got to think, Dan Bylsma, if early in game five something goes wrong against Fleury, you might have to pull him out to save your job and to potentially save the series.
Without question. I mean, if he does start him, he's going to have, he's going to have somebody in the wings, and I don't know. Like I said, I've never been a coach, but I guess if I were a coach, I would have already had a conversation with my backup goalie saying, listen, you know, given the circumstances the way they are, we're going to monitor this. Make sure you're ready because, you know, if anything goes south, you're going to be in there very quickly. So, I mean, that would almost have to be a conversation that he would have with his backup just to make sure that, you know, he was, you know, he's not just along for the ride, that he knows that there's a very good opportunity for him to be in there and see how it goes. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, I guess Bylsma would know his goaltenders than anybody, and he'll have to, you know, that's where coaching decisions come in. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. It's going to be tough.
Well, that'll be interesting. A very interesting game tonight. Minnesota wins it. Man, the series is right back on. Lose. They're down 3-1 going on the road, having to win 2 out of 3. That makes it much more difficult. So a huge game tonight in Minnesota, Mike. The atmosphere obviously will be crazy. Enjoy it. We appreciate your time.
You bet. Anytime.